drop it like an earthquake on a Trump golf course. We'll explain later, and no one got hurt. Jay Huger, Mondale Robbins is in the house. John Iadarola, look at this. What a fun panel. All right, so I love it. We got great stories for you guys, including Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene on earthquakes and who we should repent to and why. But we also have Biden on Israel, Netanyahu, all of those guys, the usual cast of characters. Fun for everybody. Mondale, but what brings you to LA?
Yeah, I'm getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, Cenk. So believe it or not, I used to do Campus Compact, which is a convention created by Honda for HBCUs. And in undergrad, you all compete on knowledge bowls, so history, mostly African American history. And they follow you after your career. And if you do good community service, then they'll allow you to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's awesome. That is Look awesome. At that. Okay, yeah, super yeah. proud of that.
Yeah.
So congrats on that. And of course, Mondale's the mayor of Enfield, North Carolina. And he's also a contributor on Rebel Headquarters, so make sure you're checking that out.
Often pops up on the damage report as well.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not saying that's in the top 10 of his achievements, but it's worthy of note.
I mean, it's right on the me getting married, John.
There we go. Whoa, that's strong comments. Okay. And of course, Marie Jose or Josie Robinson is with us because they just joined by hitting the join button below. You could do that too. And we need about 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year. Can we do that? I believe we can. I think we're an awesome team and community, and we're gonna need to do it to stay together here. So appreciate you guys. All right, let's do the news.
Okay, let's do it. Donald Trump was just dealt two separate setbacks in his efforts to kill the criminal cases that he's currently facing. Judges in both the Georgia case, in which he and a number of other individuals, nearly two dozen, attempted to overthrow the results of the Georgia 2020 presidential election, and the federal classified documents case, both ended his efforts to end those. Now, the argument that was given by the Trump legal team in the two different cases was very different, and the likelihood that the judges would rule in the way that they did also very different. And I want to start with the one that I think I was most surprised by, that Judge Eileen Cannon, a judge who was of course put on the bench by Donald Trump, that has shown a willingness to make bizarre decisions in his favor, risking perhaps her control over this case. She could be pulled theoretically because of the bias that she's systematically shown. And also a willingness to delay the proceedings at every turn, has not given in to the Trump legal argument, philosophy kind of that they're making here. I want to break down exactly what happened. So in their original motion, Trump's legal team asserted that the former president was able to designate classified documents as personal and under the Presidential Records Act, legally retain them after his term ended. Now, they coupled that with an even more questionable thing, which is that they said that by taking them to Mar-a-Lago rather than sending them to the National Archives, Trump was effectively designating them as personal. So, you know, he didn't do anything to designate them as personal, but he did steal them. So is that cool? And it wasn't cool, actually. Now, along the way, of course, the prosecutor said that even if their interpretation of the Presidential Records Act was accurate, the charges that Trump faces in the classified documents case have nothing to do with the Presidential Records Act. They're actually they're encapsulated under the Espionage Act, all 32 of those counts. Now, that did not mean that Judge Eileen Cannon was going to reject the argument. Again, the bias has been fairly clear from the very beginning, but she did reject this legal argument and declined to dismiss the case under it. She wrote that prosecutors, quote, make no reference to the Presidential Records Act, sort of the argument that the special counsel's team was making, and that they did not rely on the statute to bring charges. However, her order did keep open the possibility that Trump could still use that argument to defend himself at trial. Why? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, you know, I share that with Lena Haba. But And the whole thing seems very, very surprising because again, the charges have nothing to do with the Presidential Records Act. And so if it's not a justification to dismiss the thing, why would it be a defense against the claims that he stole those documents? Particularly when the special counsel has already made clear that they've racked up a number of different witnesses that are going to make clear that Donald Trump did nothing besides the initial act of theft to even pretend to make these personal documents. And there is a very, I think, interesting conversation to be had about whether many of these documents even could be made personal, considering that they contain incredibly sensitive secrets and facts and all sorts of stuff having to do with national security. And so that's the big one. We're gonna move on to another case eventually, but what do you think about this? Are you as surprised as I was?
Yeah, no, I wasn't surprised because the facts of how she should rule are so clear. Right, and I thought Jack Smith actually did a good job legally when he basically threatened to appeal her being the judge in the case because she was being so ridiculous. And I think that that did have some effect here based on my reading of the case. She said several times in the case, you see that? I mean, you could appeal anything you like, but I ruled on your side, which I thought, oh, well, well played, Jack Smith. But in terms of the law, it's super clear. Guys, sometimes laws overlap, and so they could be relevant in a trial about something else. Sometimes one part of one law might counteract a different part of a different law, right? So it's not wrong to consider it. And so, but they did consider it. And here that they do not overlap, they do not counteract, they have nothing to do with the charges. So it's like saying you're up on a murder charge, but Your Honor, I didn't steal that bike. Yeah, we didn't charge you with that. That was not related to this case at all. So congratulations on not stealing the bike, but not relevant here. And that's basically this ruling, and it's definitely correct. Mondo.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think also there's something more cynical at play with this judge. She's the same judge that took this case and moved it to one of the most conservative counties in Florida, one of the counties where Trump won by more than 20 percentage points. And we see her willingness to muddy the water. And I think this idea that we're gonna even consider the PRA as a defense for Trump and instructions being given to the jury is just to do that. I mean, you got a conservative, most likely you're gonna have a conservative jury already favoring Trump from a judge that's appointed by Trump. Then you're gonna give them some instructions that could muddy the water and confuse them on what is and isn't possible when it comes to documents. And like John said, some of those documents were highly secure and secret that you can't even if you are the president, you could never declassify some of those documents. Yet and still, Trump had them in the bathroom, probably using them for TP or something. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, along those lines, let me just remind the audience what some of them were. It was Iran's defenses, some of the nuclear secrets of other countries. I mean, it doesn't get any more classified than this. For him to say like, well, I just took it for memorabilia. That's not, no, you didn't. And no, that's not a thing. And it's not even close to a thing. Look, guys, I've said this 100 times. The MAGA guys are not 100% wrong in the politicization here in the sense that the timing is wrong, right? They should have brought these cases the minute that Trump left office or didn't cooperate with the FBI, et cetera. Waiting 2.5 years before charging him is, I think, really problematic. But in terms of did he actually do these things, it's not close. He definitely did. He took some of our top secrets and he brought them home. And whenever he's, goes into court, his defenses are preposterous. And by the way, you know that I'm being honest and genuine with you guys, because when they're not, I tell you, for example, in the fraud case, I said, look, I don't think they should take his properties until all the appeals are over. That's a legitimate point to make, right? So, but in a case where you take home the biggest top secret documents we have, the FBI asks for them back and you don't give them back and you hide them and this is not close. It's not anywhere near close. He definitely did it, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah. And bear in mind at the same time that they're claiming that all of these documents, like the literal Death Star plans, are his personal property. He's saying that Joe Biden didn't get to take home his own personal notes and diaries that he took. That's not personal, but the nuclear secrets are personal. So there's just a wee bit of hypocrisy on there. But in any event, again, the possibility that the PRA could pop up in the case remains. In particular, the judge who largely ruled against Trump here also had kind of harsh words for the special counsel, because the special counsel had been pushing for her to definitively make clear that the PRA would not pop up in some way in the jury instructions for the eventual case, if and when it ever happens. And she said that that demand was unprecedented and unjust. I mean, bear in mind, she has been presiding over this case for months and months and months. So is it unjust? I mean, maybe it's a tad bit aggressive, but we still don't even know when this case is gonna happen. So I think trying to light a little bit of a fire under the gown, I think, or the robe, is I think that's just at this point. People deserve to know what actually happened there. And we deserve to get to like the conclusion of this case so that, as you pointed out, Mondale, the incredibly MAGA population of that county can just let him off scot-free anyway. But we should at least give them the chance to do that. In any event, Trump was very mad at the special counsel over some of the pressure they were putting on Eileen Cannon. I'm not gonna read this entire bleat that he put out, but he refers to the special counsel as deranged special counsel Jack Smith. I think he's implying the special counsel has some sort of mental disability or something, which is a little bit rich coming from Donald Trump. But he talks about his failure as a prosecutor. He's constantly overruled and everything. I don't know, maybe he's a failure, but he won this round against you. So, you know, a little bit of respect for that. He calls him a lowlife who is nasty, rude, and condescending, and obviously trying to play the ref, which is rude because that is, after all, his ref. But anyway, he says that the guy shouldn't even be on the case and he did nothing wrong, but Biden did, and they let him off scot-free. Again, with his personal diaries that he used to write an autobiography. That's what you should go to jail for, not the nuclear defense plans. How did that happen, Jack? A two-tiered system of justice, election interference. And I agree with him on that last part. I think that pretty much every step of this Eileen Cannon case has proved that we do have a two-tiered system of justice. It's just stacked in the opposite direction that he would have you believe. But in any event, I do want to make sure that we get to the other case, because we didn't just have a ruling on the classified documents. A couple of other cases also popped up in the news. In the Georgia election subversion case, Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee rejected the argument that had been made by Donald Trump's legal team that whatever it is that he did in the attempt to overturn the results of the election in Georgia in 2020, all of that should be allowed under the First Amendment. Basically, you have free speech as an American, and so it would be nice if that got him off scot-free, I guess. I guess you can pressure a Secretary of State and tell them to find 11,000 votes, that's free speech. And you can line up a slate of fake electors and have them sign documents fraudulently, and that's all free speech. And of course, I'm being sarcastic because it wasn't. And not surprisingly, in this case, the judge was not buying it. The judge said the defense has not presented, nor is the court able to find any authority that the speech and conduct alleged is protected political speech. And bear in mind, you shouldn't be surprised by this, because multiple of the co-conspirators have already also tried to defend themselves under the First Amendment, and they were not successful in doing that. I think Sidney Powell notably is one of those. And before I throw to the discussion, this is a little bit more minor news, and it did happen on Wednesday. But his attempt to delay, not kill, the hush money trial in New York was also shot down this week. They basically wanted to wait until the Supreme Court finally rules on whether presidential immunity is a thing, which could take months. That didn't happen. So at least in that case, we're still go to launch on April 15th. So prep yourself for that. But on these, what do you think?
Yeah, so a lot of comments here. First, on the Atlanta case, you know, look, I almost don't blame Trump's lawyers for trying the free speech argument, because in Washington now everything is called free speech. Campaign contributions, Sheldon Adelson wants to give Donald Trump $100 million, which he did twice, free speech. He then gave Miriam Adelson, the wife, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. But no, not bribes, free speech. Okay, so he's like, well, I mean, me breaking the law, just like in Washington, is free speech, right? And they're like, no, that's not how it works. Okay, so like in that case, I'm very interested to see if they're going to find him guilty when he said, find me 11,000 some odd votes that he needed, right? And you know, I think a rational person interprets that as, I don't care where you find it, primary to goddamn votes, right? And the context of the rest of the conversation shows that. But I could see that being debatable. I could see a MAGA guy being on the court going, I don't know, find me could be, he thinks there are, and you go find them, right? But this idea that it was free speech, like let's say that he had said instead of find me the 11,000 votes, he was like, go print out fake 11,000 votes and then pretend they're real. And then they arrest him for that and he goes, no, free speech. No, free speech is not a defense. That's absurd, right? That's again, everything that Trump does is geared towards like press conferences and politics and getting his MAGA base to believe him. But that stuff doesn't work in court. It has to be actually attached to a law. That you have to actually make a factual case and show evidence, right? And he's not even close in these cases. So, but nevertheless, I mean, look, in Atlanta, it's conceivable that he could somehow win that case. They could consider it too vague to be beyond a reasonable doubt, etc. The case that we were originally talking about, Jack Smith and the judge's canon there, the most important decision canon can make is when the trial starts. So all of this could be completely, and probably, to be honest, probably will be irrelevant because the number one trick she can do and likely will do is delay the trial. Once she delays the trial, game over because it's past November. And once it's past November, that's a federal trial. So Trump can come in and go, I dismiss it. Okay, he doesn't even have to pardon himself. He says the United States government drops the case and we're done with it, okay? And let's say Biden wins and Trump doesn't, they're not gonna put him in jail anyway. It was just, look, that's my opinion, right? So he could be found guilty in three different places and Biden will tell, oh, being magnanimous, I'll pardon him, right? I would be shocked if he went to jail. So look, the where it is super relevant is before the election so that the American people can know, did he do these things? Or by the way, it's super important for them to know if he didn't do those things, right? If it turns out, no, he didn't have the nuclear secrets, he didn't have Iran's defenses, he wasn't, then okay, then you should know before the election, right? Anything after the election is kind of irrelevant, not because I treat it as political, but because I'm worried they're going to treat it as political and not actually put him in jail, even if he doesn't win. And if he does win, there's no way he's gonna put himself in jail. Quick side note, last thing here. I mean, Iran's defenses are also, and nuclear secrets, also happen to be the single most valuable top secret documents that we have. Both Israel and Saudi Arabia would love to get their hands on those documents, okay? Those are the top two enemies of Iran. And by the way, two countries that the Trump family is very, very connected to. And you're telling me that was personal memorabilia that he happened to accidentally take home? Come on guys, even if you're MAGA, you gotta have trouble believing that.
Well, I don't think the MAGA has, like his movement, they don't have trouble believing it because in their eyes, whatever Jesus or Trump say, it's absolute fact, right? Even if we're talking about 2 Corinthians, which don't exist, it does not matter because it's true, because Trump said so. Here's what I would say. I absolutely agree with you and it's sad. Trump's not going to prison. Even though he should be in prison, Trump's not going to prison. And here's the sad part about it. Whether he wins or lose, he's not gonna go to prison. And part of that is because Biden does not have the balls to send Trump to prison.
Yeah, he's not gonna do it. There's a lot of truth to that.
And the sad part about it is this laughing and bragging about a two-tier justice system, all while you are benefiting from this two-tier justice system in a way that nobody else would. Think about someone being out on bond or bail for RICO charges and threatening and talking to the judge and their family members or about the judge and their family members in this way and allowed to continue it and then just continue to go on and on and on. And there's no repercussions for it. I don't see Trump going to jail because America's not built. Just like the Hague is not built to try and hold Western nations accountable, just only black nations in Africa and people of color from the southern part of this, the southern hemisphere. America's justice system is not built to hold rich white men accountable. And Trump is showing us this at every corner. I mean, he's being persecuted or prosecuted by a special counsel, and we're making conversations about the timing. The timing is off, as Jinx said, but don't forget, Hillary Clinton got information dropped on her 2 weeks before an election in 2016. That is by a special counsel. So, and no one is saying anything that we are seeing, anything close to what Trump is doing. And I think the fact that America is so comfortable with this and Trump's behavior
It's just a testament to what this country is, has been, and will be until we get serious about changing these systems that we call unbiased, where we have political people appointing justices. And in this case, in Florida, for instance, a judge that shouldn't even be on the federal bench, really.
Great.
Great points.
I think we should probably take our first break, but much more to come after this.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk, John, and what am I blanking right here? Mondale with you guys. That was crazy.
Right,
that was nuts. I don't know what happened there. You know why? Because I was looking at the names of to thank you guys, Dami, Mommy, Matrix, and John Mariana. Thank you for gifting memberships on there. Okay. And remember, guys, we're trying to get to 100,000 subscribers. So all those gifts are huge, and we appreciate you. Everybody joining up is a huge difference maker for us. John.
Okay, let's jump into news that won't anger anyone. Just days after the Israeli military killed 7 aid workers from the World Central Kitchen, Benjamin Netanyahu is now demanding that not only the US continue sending weapons to Israel, but that they do so faster than ever before. Right now, a delegation of House Republicans is in Jerusalem. They're there for a meeting that was set up by AIPAC, talking with Benjamin Netanyahu. And here is what he told House Republicans. I have three messages for you. The first is we're going to win. Absolutely. Victory is within reach. It's very close. And there is no substitute for victory. The second is that it can be made quicker. I'll paraphrase someone you all have heard before, Winston Churchill. He said, give us the tools and we'll do the job. Give us the tools faster and we'll finish the job faster. I'm talking about the supplemental. I hope you find a way to give it as fast as you can. The third thing is this is, there is a contrary move, an attempt to force, ram down our throats a Palestinian state, which will be another terror haven, another launching ground for an attempt, as was the Hamas state in Gaza. So he obviously wants more of the aid and he wants it expedited. He wants it to never end. And here is the current state of roughly what has been given thus far. So the US typically provides about $3.8 billion in military aid to Israel on a yearly basis. Since this conflict, they've also rushed a multiple emergency shipments of weapons, totaling more than $250 million since October 7th. And recently, Biden authorized the transfer of over 1,500 pound bombs and over 1,000 small diameter bombs to Israel. And we're gonna turn to what Biden is, sorry, I was gonna say doing, what he's saying to imply that things have become more tense between him and the leadership of Israel. But I wanna start there for just a little bit, because when you hear about 1,500 pound bombs being transferred to Israel, which has a perfectly well equipped and well trained domestic military and domestic arms industry, that they need these in particular, I just wanna remind people of one thing. You need 500 pound bombs to take out enemy fortifications, bunkers, tanks, things like that. There are none of those in Gaza. All there are buildings, hospitals, residential buildings, apartments, World Central Kitchen, aid vehicles. What exactly do you need 500 pound bombs for to take out a military, if you can even call what Hamas had or has that, that is constituted of individuals with assault rifles, IEDs, 500 pound bombs? Okay, I mean, look, a lot of the infrastructure of Gaza has already been leveled. Is it any wonder when munitions of this sort are being used? In any event, that's what's already been granted. And that's not what's being requested now by Benjamin Netanyahu. It is a whole nother round of weapons and aid. And it remains to be seen if Biden, well, certainly the Democrats or the Republicans are gonna support that. But will Biden make good on it? He's implying that there's this new rift following the aid worker's death. We'll have to see what that's worth in the end.
Yeah, nonsense. There's no rift at all. So let me break this down a little bit. So let's be honest, my prediction came true. But let's also be honest that it wasn't hard. And all of you predicted it along with me. The only people who can't predict it is everyone in Washington. Why did we predict exactly what would happen? Because we've seen it happen 20 other times. So Biden pretends that he's upset at Netanyahu and leaks, there was a tense phone call, stern words were exchanged, etc. You've seen this pattern 100 times, anybody can predict this. Then Netanyahu comes out and goes, shut up, I'm not gonna do anything you say, and send me money right now, okay? And that's exactly what happened. Okay, so now in this case, it wasn't a press conference for Netanyahu. Instead, he went and talked to these 15 Republicans. But the nerve on this guy, like, he talks to the president of the United States. If the president isn't 100% lying, I actually think that they probably play out the theater on the call just in case those calls are recorded, etc. And Biden goes, wags his finger, okay, I'm really, being very upset at you. What are the words I'm supposed to use? Yeah, okay. And then then Netanyahu went to the Republicans and said to them, no, send me the weapons quicker. I already gave you your orders. Why are we still having a conversation? Okay, so now if you get super upset about that, like, hey, you can't say that about Netanyahu, you can't say it about Israel. You can say it about any other country and any other leader, but you're not allowed to say it about, you're wrong, I just said it. So there's nothing you could do about it because it's absolutely true and we all see it with our own eyes. So when people in Washington keep saying, you cannot say things that are true, things that are obvious to literally everyone, sorry. We do truth on this network, okay? So if you're wondering why are the Republicans having a meeting with Netanyahu, and this is a very unpopular position for Biden. Earlier in the week, we showed you a poll from the Wall Street Journal and the CNN anchors flipping out over it. And this issue alone might cost Biden the election, right? So because he's supporting Israel 100% when he shouldn't be. And the voters are ready to punish him for that. So Republicans shouldn't want any part of this. And you saw it with abortion. The minute Dobbs came out and abortion became an unpopular issue for the Republicans, they dropped it like a hot potato, right? All of a sudden, everybody's on TV going, Kellyanne Conway, Karl Rove, Sean Hannity yesterday. Don't talk about abortion. And abortion, look, we don't need 6 weeks. We don't even need 15 weeks. I mean, two-thirds, maybe the first two trimesters is fine. That's Roe, right? So you see how quickly they dropped it when it was politically disadvantageous. But now the Republicans are going to go grab that hot potato. Why would they do that? So let's show you why they would do that. Let's go ahead to graphics 6 and 7 here. These are the contributions that those 15 Republicans have gotten from AIPAC. So pro-Israel groups have given to each Republican there. Oh, poor Eli Crane, Shao, only $500, right? But as you go through, you see all the numbers here, 12,000, 13,000, 15,000. Show me the next one, they only get larger, 16,000, 22,000, 36,000, 46,000, 67,000, 270,000, and the list goes on and on. That's why they take the meeting. Ted Cruz, a huge advocate for Israel. Guess who his number one donor is? AIPAC. Speaker Mike Johnson says $14 billion not enough for Israel. We need to get them $17 billion, even though he's purposely punching himself in the face politically. Why would he do that? His largest donor, AIPAC. And who's the number one recipient of AIPAC money? Joe Biden. Huh, interesting. And you might think, well, that's because he's president, etc. We're gonna talk more about it later in the show. No, it's not because he's president. He broke the record for how much campaign donations anybody got from AIPAC when he was in the Senate. In US Senate history, no one has ever gotten more legalized bribes, what they call campaign contributions, than Joe Biden. $5.7 million. When you include the presidency, $11.2 million. How is this not mentioned in every single story about Joe Biden's motivations when it comes to policy on Israel? Is every reporter in the country genuinely saying that they don't think an $11 million in contributions affects a politician? Go ahead, I dare you. If you're a national media reporter, I dare you to say that on air, okay? Because you will lose all credibility with every normal person in the country. Instantly, no one believes that politicians are not influenced by their top donors. So that is why Biden pretends to yell at Netanyahu. Then Netanyahu, so brazen, comes out and slaps him around in front of the whole world. And then goes to Republicans and says, now you do it. as if he owns the place and runs the place. And partly because of AIPAC, he does. And if that hurts your feelings, go take it up with AIPAC.
Yeah, the breakdown on that was unbelievable. Listen, here's the truth of the matter. A couple things that can be true. First of all, wow, on the $11 million. How long do you have to be president to make that money? Like, what president is making, what, $500,000 right now? So you have to be president 20 years to get that much money? That is unbelievable to me. The fact that our political system allows that much money to politicians that are making policy. Of course, that money has a place in what Joe Biden is feeling in his politics, for sure. No one needs to argue that. But what's disgusting to me is Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a thug on all levels, who is responsible in part to Hamas having the ability to attack Israel on October 7th. This is what's disgusting to me. The fact that he can go and talk to Americans, Republicans, about who can and can't have a nation and what Israel will not stand for. He said victory is in reach. 33,000 people have been murdered in Palestine since October 7th. 33,000. What do you mean by in reach? How close are you to completely wiping out everybody in Palestine and Gaza? I'm pissed off that nobody is talking about how much life. Over 100 journalists have been killed, 200 aid workers have been killed, and now we see the direct targeting of aid workers by his military, and then they just do two people as scapegoat and fire them, and then the story will pass. And he goes on national TV with Republicans and the backing of so many other people, AIPAC and others, to say, yeah, America's president is nothing because we control the narrative. We, and what you have out of the MAGA right now, because they're all MAGA, you have one thing happening that is true. Whatever the money says will be the case. You can sell Bibles. You can make Jerusalem a part of Israel. Donald Trump did that. And you can actually say the Constitution is not real. You can say people attacking our state house, the country's house, the seat of democracy, are hostages. Not terrorists, but hostages. So I just know that Benjamin Netanyahu is about to get more 500-pound bombs to bomb away everyone that is living in Gaza. I promise you he will. And it will happen with speed, without haste.
Yeah, let me say a couple of things real quick about that. The 500-pound bombs that you guys are mentioning are devastating. But they also use 2,000-pound bombs. And we're going to talk more about this later on the show. It's a different story. But their kill ratios that are allowed, Guardian just broke this story, is if it's a low-level militant and they're not even sure that it's a militant, you're allowed to kill 20 civilians. If it's a militant leader, you're allowed to kill 100 civilians. If we found out that Hamas said, hey, in order to get one IDF soldier, let's just murder 20 Israeli civilians, we would say they were the worst terrorists in the world. But Israel does it, and the Republicans and Democrats are competing over how to send them money quicker, right? And just to be clear, the $11.2 billion is over the course of his career in campaign contributions. The 5.7 is in the Senate, and the rest is in when he was running for the White House and at the White House. Again, if you think that he's not affected by that because he's an angel, you sound like a moron, to be honest with you. So go ahead and say that all you want. And so I think that these guys just trying to figure out how do we get them more money to kill more people while pretending to be the good guys and Western democracy, etc. It's absurd, it's disgusting. The politicians tripping over themselves to compete for who's gonna serve them better. It's, one more thing on that, guys. It's kind of humiliating for all of us here in America.
Yeah. I mean, and Netanyahu is so arrogant with it. He's quoting Churchill in a war that 2 million people died. So you're telling us what you're willing to do to get rid of Gaza and prevent it from being a state.
Yeah, and in closing, he also says that we can get it done faster, when already the pace of civilian deaths is without precedent in modern conflicts. Not Afghanistan, not Iraq, not Syria, which was bombed by an entire handful of world powers. We've never seen civilians dying at the pace that they are. And he's saying we need to speed up on this thing. And it doesn't seem like that's being driven by military strategy. It seems like it's being driven by growing global opposition to the strategy that's being already pursued.
I want to give last word to one of our members. History Speaks wrote in on Super Chat. Of all wars in the 2020s, 2010s, 2000s, and 1990s, no government killed civilians at a faster rate per month than Israel is in Gaza. With the exception of the Second Congo War, deadliest war worldwide since World War II, and recognized genocides like Rwanda. So with those two exceptions, it is the fastest rate of killing civilians of any conflict in that time period. And he's right about that. And he thank you for reminding me of that. I love doing the show with members. Hit the join button below if you can to be a Young Turks member, to do it with us, etc. But for him to say we're going to do it quicker, why is he saying that? Joe Biden just told him, do not go into Rafah and do a blitzkrieg, excuse the word, but kind of true, and kill more civilians. He gets off the phone, goes to the Republicans and say, yeah, I'm gonna ignore that loser that you have as a president, okay? And so I'm now ordering you guys, I'm gonna do it even faster. And why? Because Trump told him to do it faster. Kill more people at a quicker rate. All done with American taxpayer money. You paid any taxes at all, a portion of that went to go murder Palestinians on behalf of Netanyahu. 33,000 dead already. They claim that some portion of that is Hamas. Wait till you get the real facts later in the show and you find out what they call people Hamas is basically almost all males in Gaza, right? The adult males. But even so, 23,000 at a minimum are women and children that have been incinerated in those bombs that we paid for. And then he goes around literally adding insult to injury as he mocks our leaders. And orders them around. If you're comfortable with that, have at it, Hoss, but I am not. That is not what America is supposed to be about. And this is deep, deep-seated corruption.
What do you mean, Jink? That's America first, ain't it?
Well, isn't that hilarious? No, that's right. And but you know what, Mondale, a lot of the right-wing base, now I've seen it for the first time, starting to turn on this idea. Because I'm seeing it all over social media. I'm even seeing it by some of their leaders going, wait a minute. What are we doing? We said America first, but it doesn't look like America first. It looks like at best America second, okay? So the reason that kind of language sometimes makes people uncomfortable is because I get it. There's the old anti-Semitic tropes about Jews secretly control the world, etc. That is not true. But if you think that lobbyists don't control politicians, you're a moron. Okay, that is definitely true. It's true for AIPAC, it's true for Raytheon, it's true for ExxonMobil, it's true for Pfizer. And all these guys get legalized bribes. And if you say because of old anti-Semitic tropes, I am never going to tell the truth to the audience. Sorry, that's dumb. No, explain what the tropes are, why they're wrong, then explain why lobbyists actually get everything they want. It just so happens, including AIPAC. And by the way, last thing. AIPAC says they're in this election cycle, they're gonna spend $100 million. Is there really any reporter stupid enough to say that politicians don't care about $100 million in bribes headed in their direction? Yeah. Go ahead, say it, I dare you. That's how you lost all credibility in this country. Of course, AIPAC is the number one reason why we have an Israel policy that is unchecked and unconditional, no matter what they do.
I love that we'll have a debate about whether they're getting a return on their investment when they sure seem to think that they're getting a return on their investment. If they weren't, wouldn't they have stopped a few billion dollars ago? They could have saved a lot of money. But anyway, we do have to take a break. When we come back, lots more to talk about, including a fairly distressing poll about what Americans think about the involvement of violence in attaining their political goals.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk Mondale and John. Okay, seriously, Lady Fugentree T. I am struggling today with names. Gifted 5 Young Turks memberships. Benjamin Webster, Vicky R, and Drink Your OJ all gifted a membership. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you. Thank you for chipping in, John.
Okay, let's have a little bit of fun with these last two stories. More and more Americans apparently believe that violence may be necessary to achieve their political goals, and you will never guess which Americans are most likely to think that. Except that you totally will. Let's take a look at the poll results. Overall, 20% of national adults either strongly agree or agree with the idea that Americans may have to resort to violence to get the country back on track. But obviously, there are fairly large differences once you break it down by party ID, with Democrats having only 12% agreement, Republicans all the way up at 28, and independents, as always, somewhere in the middle. And look, we're gonna keep that up for a little bit. Even 12% of Democrats, I think, is a little bit distressing. I think we should all be able to agree on that. But that overall, if you're standing in a crowd, 1 in 5 of the people there think, you know, democracy's complicated and persuading people is tough, so maybe at some point we'll just start shooting people. And the fact that more than 1 in 4 Republicans, a significant percentage, I mean, that looks like the MAGA percentage of the country at large, think, yeah, we might need to do this thing. And when everybody says it, it doesn't necessarily mean the same exact thing. So for those Republicans responding to that, bear in mind they're already coming off of a big election loss in 2020. They're enraged by the fact that, although they pretend to not accept that Trump lost, they know that he lost because he was incompetent, he wasn't able to rally people to his cause, and they're deeply worried that they will lose again in 2024. We already see the turn in, you know, independent right-wing media demonizing the very idea of democracy or popular democracy. They are working to increase that number, to prepare their population to accept some alternative to democracy. A strongman ruler, an overturned election, or perhaps some sort of violent uprising. And so can we really be that surprised that these numbers are as high as they are, particularly when leaders are going around the country talking about how there's gonna be bloodbaths if Trump loses, and they're talking about the blood of the nation, and they're talking about an invasion at the southern border. This violent, bloodthirsty, militaristic language has become utterly normalized, both by our politicians and by our media. Maybe in the end, we should be shocked that it's only 28% of Republicans and 1 in 5 Americans at large.
Yeah, John, it's interesting because the numbers have actually gone down a little bit since earlier polling. So I've seen polling as high as 41% of Republicans saying that it might be time for violence. But I think that I see the numbers going down. This is just a theory, okay? That since Trump took the lead, right-wing leaders have been saying it less about the need for violence. Because, and I think it's because of some of the demographic information they're seeing. I might be way over extrapolating here, okay? But I think that part of the reason why the right-wing leadership, both in media and politics, started talking about violence. You saw congressperson after congressperson talking about your Second Amendment rights, your rights to rise up against government tyranny. 1776, Roseanne Barr is still saying 1776 at this late juncture, etc. And she's not unclear about it. She says, if we win, great. If we lose the election, 1776. So don't tell me it means anything else. No, it means we do violence against people we don't agree with, because who cares? We never believed in America. We just believed in power. And as long as we're in power, awesome. If we're not in power, we do violence. But I think that part of the reason that they were going in that direction was because they thought demographically we're screwed. There's no way we can win in the future. I mean, they almost never win the popular vote anymore. The last Republican, in fact, the only, one out of the last 7 presidential elections, George W. Bush won the popular vote in 2004. Outside of that, they have lost 6 out of 7. And it looked like it was over for them. So that's why they were going to, well, if we can't win in a democracy, who cares about democracy? The point is us winning. So then we'll do it with violence, as right wing has throughout history, to be honest, right? So, but now they're seeing new numbers with Trump starting to get to close to 20 points with African-American voters, at least African-American males, which is unprecedented. Trump winning Latinos in some polls, unprecedented. And now last poll has Trump with a slight lead among younger voters. And that was the number one thing they were worried about and why they were talking about violence nonstop. But Biden, congratulations. Mainly because of Gaza, but because of many other things, including the nonstop corruption that no Democrat ever does anything about. Well, what do we have? We have young people going, screw the Democrats. So now all of a sudden there's a little bit less talk about violence because they don't need it as much, right? That memo has not gone to Donald Trump. Still talking about bloodbaths from time to time. Although to be fair, that was economic context, etc. And it has not gotten to the lunatics like Roseanne Barr that are still on that same path. Okay, now having said that, 28% of Republicans saying we should do violence is awful, terrible. And John's right, 12% of Democrats. What are you thinking? What are you nuts? No, not under any circumstance. But we're in dark times where people think, and I'll say one last thing about that, and I'm curious what you think, Mondale. Look, guys, I think part of the frustration here is something that people don't talk about. I told you what I think is largely driving the right wing. But the reason you're seeing 12% among Democrats and 18% among independents is not because they're like, oh yeah, man, I hope Trump wins through violence. No, right? A giant percentage of this country is frustrated that our politicians never represent us. And they're like, this system is so broken that they're desperate for any other way to get out of the mess that we're in. That's why in this same poll here, I think we have it. 41%, let me go to graphic three. 41% of Americans overall said the nation has gotten so far off track that it needs a leader willing to break rules. Looking across partisan lines, 56% of Republicans, 28% of Democrats, and 37% of independents agree. Because what are the rules? If by the rules you mean democracy and the Constitution, hell no, right? But if by the rules you mean this current corrupt system where only the donors win, I begin to understand why people want to break rules. Doing it through violence is a pathway to disaster. That's not the right way to do it. But we do have to break this corrupt system, and that is true.
Yeah, I think for me, I think what bothers me about this is I expect more from PBS. This is a very irresponsible poll in that, like, I think the lack of like detail of explaining or explanations of what we're talking about is completely dangerous. So I mean, we see 28%. Also, we're talking about 300 people, right? Out of hundreds of million people that are registered to vote in this country. Also, most independents aren't really independent. Most independents vote always Democrat, always Republican. And I think I would have been more appreciative of PBS if they would have asked people how they vote, not how they're registered, right? Because that matters the most, because we see something. I don't believe that there's a lessening of violence. I seen there's a book that just came out talking about white rural rage, where we're seeing this crazy percentage of rural white people that support Trump that are really anti-constitution and more strongman and more for violence. And I think we are preparing ourselves to not answer the call when we're not talking about this in a wholehearted way. And I believe wholeheartedly as a person from rural space, as a person who is interacting with my rural white neighbors on a daily basis, that war has always been baked in as an option of them losing twice. This is a country where white supremacy is 400 years and undefeated. So when you see it happening twice to a people, you have to understand that MAGA was always about taking America back when she spoke only for white people. Because there was no time when America was ever greater than it is now when we're talking about in terms of including the most people. So when we look at America right now, talking about going back to this time when it was great, you have to ask when. When you're asked when, everybody that you ask on the Republican side, they're talking about a time where only white people, specifically rich white people, had rights. And I think that to me is scary as hell. It also reminds me that America is as white as she is because of policies, right? America did not remain majority white without preventing African nations from migrating to this country throughout the 60s, 70s, 50s, and 40s, right? It wasn't until the 90s that black people from African countries could actually start coming here. The same thing is true with America limiting how many brown people could come here. So America is the way she is because of racist policies. And I think MAGA and this idea of violence is baked in and is as American as apple pie and baseball. Yeah. One more thing, if you don't mind. Black men aren't becoming more conservative, right? We just watched in Ohio, and I keep telling people, if you look at black men, what we're seeing is a rejection of the Democratic way of policy. It's very transactional. So what we see is more black men willing to sit out elections, not more black men vote for Republican candidates. We see time and time again, when progressive ideas are on the ballot, nobody outperforms black men, not even black women. And the world might look at me like I got three heads, but I also have the data support it. In Ohio, we just watched women's right to choose be on the ballot, and black men outperform everybody. The closest demographic to us was black women, where 80% of them voted for it and 88% of black men. We actually voted for women's right to choose in Ohio more than we did for the legalization of marijuana. We also saw this time and time again throughout the South when we were sitting in our focus groups talking to black men. This idea that black men are becoming more conservative is something that is a creation of Donald Trump saying it one time in 2020, and then Edmonds running with it through these flawed polls. People don't understand the history of black men in this country is to lie to pollsters, because we were raised two and three generations ago from people who were polled by slave masters who said, are you going to run away from this plantation or are you happy? And to say, to tell the truth to that white person polling you was to get yourself killed. Nobody was happy on the plantation, but you wouldn't tell the master that. So we were raised by those folk. My grandmother is a great example of this. A woman who went to church all the time, but the minute somebody white called her phone and asked about her insurance or her life policy, she would tell a lie immediately and hang up the phone after she said, bless your heart. But that was, I mean, this is a woman that was raised by someone who was enslaved. So, you know, lying to pollsters is not a lie for black people. It's a way to save your life and protect your identity.
All right, I'm gonna add to the last couple of quick things here. Yeah, I've seen some shift in the rhetoric from the right-wing leaders, as I said, but you're right that when you get down to the level of hardcore MAGA, the guys that go to the Trump rallies, we recently went to a rally, asked 10 guys if they would prefer Biden as president or Trump as dictator. All 10 said Trump is dictator.
Wow.
Right? And wow. So they're not, and look at the South, right? So in the old days, what did the South do? Do you think they did democracy? No, they did might is right. I'm going to own you even though you're a human being. How am I gonna do that? Am I gonna let you vote? No. Am I gonna let you get educated? No. I'm just gonna use violence against you. So let's not pretend that this is a new concept in America, right? And so, and finally, as part of that, when we did the Civil War, they said, oh no, it wasn't about slavery. And a lot of people in the South believe that. That's insanity. It was obviously about slavery. And that is why when you, in the same exact poll, when they asked how many of you think that Joe Biden actually won the presidency, only 38% of Republicans at this late date said that he's actually the legitimate president. So huge majority of Republicans just don't believe in facts.
Wow.
And they think, no, Trump's actually the president. And that Biden never won. So that's nuts. That's totally, utterly nuts. And why? Because the right wing is used to getting lied to. Because guys, super last thing, what is the whole point of the Republican Party? Tax cuts for the rich, okay? That is the only thing they ever do. That's the only thing that Trump did, right? That's the only thing Reagan did. That's the only thing Bush did, also wars, okay? But overall, money flowing to the top, that is the whole point of the Republican Party. In order to get a majority of people to vote for more money going to the richest people in America, what do you have to do to them?
Lie.
Yeah, gotta lie, exactly. That's why the Republican Party is built on a mountain of lies. Okay, let's do another story.
Oh, okay. Going wild on a Friday, let's do it. Today, a 4.8 magnitude earthquake hit the East Coast of the United States, and that was a very surprising incident. Earthquakes are not common on the East Coast, but Marjorie Greene decided to take it to a 10 on the Richter scale when she got God involved in the whole thing, tweeting, God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent, earthquakes and eclipses, and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. Well, I don't know if the whole country was listening, but I know someone is listening, because the last remaining good thing on Twitter kicked in, and there was a community note on her tweet saying, Monday's eclipse was predicted hundreds of years ago. It will not have been caused by contemporary actions. Also, earthquakes occur naturally and happen, on average, more than 30 times a day across the globe, although many are too subtle to feel. And I love that, because No disrespect intended to the Congresswoman, except the disrespect that will follow what I'm about to say. But there's no chance that she knew that eclipses are the natural, predictable outcome of planetary movements that not only can be predicted centuries in advance, but are frequently predicted centuries in advance. All of this has been laid out a long time ago. And if she hears us, and there's a chance that she has live tweeted the damage report before. I am sure that she is going to scramble to come up with a way to not have to learn anything from this. And I'm going to save her the time and effort because I already have. God did send the eclipse as a warning, and he set it in motion hundreds of years ago. Sure, that's what she's going to say, but no. What I love about it is the opportunism. Let's say that you believe, as caveman once did, that any natural thing that happens that's scary is the gods. Maybe it's the storm god or the god of night or whatever. Okay, that's how you're going to live your life. But like, why does it have to line up with what you already believed? So the earthquake happens, it's sent by God, I'll grant you that. Why does it have to be because the libs are bad or something? I don't know. It struck New York, as you'll get into. Trump is facing a whole lot of indictments in New York. Maybe he's calling on Trump to repent. Maybe he's calling on the MAGA movement to repent. You'll notice that the signs from God are never about them. They're never going in the wrong direction. It's always the people that they already disliked. It's convenient religion sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, again, I'm fairest man in America, okay? And maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene is right. Let's look at the epicenter of the earthquake and see where it was. So this is a little bit later on graphic two, right? And so you'll see that it's actually not in New York. It's in my home state of New Jersey. But when you zoom in a little bit at the epicenter, guess what's in the right smack dab? It appears in the middle of it. Oh, right, Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster.
Look at God.
I mean, if God is asking us to repent, it might be because one of our leaders was just trying to sell Bibles and golden sneakers to his followers. Mm. I mean, it doesn't get any closer to a golden calf than that. Mm. It doesn't get any more closer to money changers that are frauds that need to be thrown out of the temple than that. And then it happens that the epicenter of the earthquake is right on his golf course. Is God trying to send us a message? Now, if you're a right winger, you cannot have it both ways. Because if you think that God was asking us to repent and it was punishment, how do you explain that the epicenter is in Trump's golf course? Then you have to say it was definitely punishment for Trump. Or are you going to pretend that, well, maybe at his golf course there might be a couple of libs? And that's why God sent it. Go ahead, humiliate yourself, right? We, on the other hand, are consistent. No, it wasn't God. It's these are normal, natural. See, now all of a sudden, John's like, maybe. Okay. John did once promise to never be fair to Trump in this show.
And God has good aim, he doesn't miss.
Yeah, are you saying God missed? Is that what you're saying, huh? No, okay, guys, this isn't God. It's a natural event, of course. He's not looking to punish Trump or New York or random liberals or Marjorie Taylor Greene's opponents. Like, space lasers are more likely than God punishing us or Trump in this case. By the way, also not space lasers. I didn't mean to give her ideas.
Maybe. Listen, I don't believe in tectonic plates, okay? This is a flat earth and God did this. I don't care what you say. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is textbook. And the fact that it had that wonderful message explaining to her, a person who this is how rich this is. She is a congressperson for a district that is rural, farmland, almanacs. Guess what's in almanacs? Eclipse. What are we talking about? Like, how did you not know this? This was coming long before she was a congresswoman, long before Trump was president, long before Trump was Trump. We knew about this eclipse. That's how we know the next one is going to be 2046. 20 years or something from now. The idea, though, that God is in this is as the same model that they're using with the flags. The more flags they have, the more God they have, the more corrupt they are, right? I mean, if you think about what Jenk was just saying, 10 people said they would prefer a dictator in America, and I bet you they all consider themselves to be patriots. Diehard Americans, probably had on American flags tattooed on their ass, stars and stripes, Americans. But they are willing to burn it down for Donald Trump.
Yep.
The most anti-American Americans. I bet you if we did a study in this country about people who believe that God is responsible for these type of activities, and also that they are the most patriotic people by owning flags and lining their house with Donald Trump paraphernalia, you would find out that these are the most anti-democratic, small d, people in this country.
So last thing here, every once in a while somebody says, they'll see a clip of me being fair, objective, stating a fact that isn't necessarily convenient for our side, and they'll go, oh, right wing turn. Look guys, how am I gonna turn to the right wing when they have a bunch of lunatics like this? I mean, it would be deeply embarrassing to be on the same side as Marjorie Taylor Greene. But to be fair, there is another right wing thought leader that has a different theory on the eclipses, and I wanted to just make sure we were fair as a show here and share it with you guys. Let's see if he's got to figure it out better. Let's watch.
NASA is notorious for performing Masonic rituals based on the Egyptian mystery schools. Apollo being the same character as Horus, Sirius representing Isis, and Atlantis being the new golden age they hope to restore. And during the eclipse on April 8th, NASA will fire three rockets named after Apep, the Egyptian serpent god, whose goal was to devour Ra, the sun. And when the sun reemerges after 3 minutes of darkness, it will be likened to the rebirth of Horus, their new king of the golden age.
Man,
that's Alex Jones. That's his theory. No, I mean, you're not buying Horus.
Can we sue him on behalf of the solar system?
Man. What is? I love his complex world building. You know, I struggle with the Silmarillion, but I think I get what he's going for in that.
So how's anybody going to this side, guys? Come on. Okay, I know not every right winger is that crazy, but you guys, you got some awfully embarrassing folks on your side. It's called science. Let's all try to look into it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we gotta go. Mondale, congrats on the honors. That's amazing. Great to have you in studio. John exists. So
sometimes wish I didn't.
Everybody check out Damage Report. It's killing it these days. And make sure you're checking out Mondale on Rebel Headquarters. All right, we have so much more news in the second hour. Come right back.